This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of the Love Sheikha Q&A. I've got a question here from a brother, and he asked me, he says, assalamu alaikum, ustada, and he mentions, I just wanted to ask you, what level of religiosity should I look for, given that my parents want to find someone who is a little younger than me? I'm 21 years old. My parents suggest that someone who is young can easily be molded, and so her level of religion doesn't matter. But this goes against every advice I have heard on choosing the one who has the deen. Right, so the brother is asking, what level of religiosity should he look for in a prospective spouse, given that his parents want to find somebody a little younger than him? So his parents are saying, you know, since it's somebody young, doesn't really matter if they're not religious, because, you know, you can influence her in a positive way and bring her around to becoming religious. And the brother is saying this goes against the advice that he's heard. So, jazakallah khairan, brother, for the question. I'm sure it's a question that many people face. Sometimes people's parents are not themselves particularly religious or knowledgeable about Islam. And so, you know, they probably ask, you know, does it really matter as long as it's a nice person? They have a nice demeanor or personality. So, brother, there's five things that I want to mention here. And I hope that other people can also take heed of these things. So the first is that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, you'll find this hadith, that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Tunkahu al-mar'atu li-arba'in, li-maliha wa li-hasabiha wa li-jamaliha wa li-diniha." فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكِ The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a woman is usually married for four qualities, right? There are four things that people usually look for or marry a woman for. The first, he said, is because she's wealthy. So she's from a wealthy family and they're attracted to her because of her wealth, or because of her status. Maybe she is somebody from a very noble family, very prestigious family, so they are attracted to that. And wali jamaliha, for her beauty, and wali diniha, or for her piety, right? Her religiosity and piety. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, you should choose, or you should hold on to and choose the person of deen, the woman who has the deen. And, you know, if you do that, then you will be successful. So this is the meaning of the hadith that I just mentioned. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in another hadith, which is related in At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, he said, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ He said to the men in particular, he was talking, but we can take general benefit from it, that he said that if a person comes to propose to you, with a proposal to you for your, you know, your daughter's hand in marriage, and you are happy with his deen, his religiosity, and his khuluq, his personality, his manners, his adab, you know, the way he deals with people, right? The khuluq here is his mu'ashara, you know, the way he deals with people and the character that he shows, right? Then marry him to your daughter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And the hadith goes on. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted two key qualities, right? He said the deen, the religiosity of a person, and the khuluq, the character and their good manners and their good akhlaq. These are the two key characteristics that a person should really look for when it comes to marriage. Now, since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so clearly in these ahadith that marry the person of deen, you know, there's this emphasis on that, the person who has religiosity, who cares about their relationship with Allah, right? And because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, then it's not appropriate for believers to then say, no, it's not important. You know, obviously it could be that your parents are not aware of this hadith. But for you, now that you are aware of this hadith, I will say to you that, you know, Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. That, O you who believe, don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the meaning of this, if you look at the in the books of tafsir, is that don't, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to do something, right, then it's not appropriate for the believer to then say, no, I don't think that's correct, or I think there's another way that might be better, right? That's one of the meanings of this ayah, right? When we hear something established in the Quran and the authentic sunnah, we hear it and we know that this is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, or from the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we say sami'na wa ata'na, we listen and we obey, right? It's not now for me to say, well, I don't think it's really a big deal, right? So it's really important that we bear that in mind. So that's the first point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam really emphasized the deen when it comes to looking for a spouse. And the second point is, when it comes to the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should not put our own ideas or thoughts above the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he's explicitly told us something. The third thing I really want to highlight, and this is something for both brothers and sisters to really internalize, we need to stop looking at marriage as being merely a Hollywood love story, right? No, marriage is about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth in the best way possible, with a companion who will help you to be able to do that, right? Marriage is about becoming a nation builder. Yeah, I really want you to really think about that. You know, you are more than just a sexual being, right, who's going to have relations and intimacy with somebody. Of course, that's a part of our lives, right? That's an important part of marriage and a blessed part of marriage within the marital context. It's a blessed thing, right? However, it's not where marriage ends. Marriage is so much more. This person who you're going to marry is going to be the mother of your children. The mother of your children. You know, the Arabs in the past, they used to be careful about who would breastfeed their children, right? So, you know, they used to have this culture of suckling mums, suckling mothers. So they used to have like wet nurses who would take the children when they were born or, you know, soon after. And they would take them to the desert and they would breastfeed them and become their foster mothers. But the Arabs used to be careful about who they would give their babies to. And the reason for that is, you know, there's an Arab saying that, you know, the wet nurse, she's giving more than milk. She's giving more to the child than milk. And the understanding is that the wetness, by being the primary nurturer of that child, is actually passing on values, is passing on personality, is passing on much more than just food to the baby, right? And so if your wetness has good character, then your child will pick up that good character, that good culture, you know, from her and her family. And if the wetness has bad character, or if the wetness is not the right sort of person, then that could potentially be a negative influence on your child. So what more for the mother, right? The reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the men to choose a person of deen, and he's telling all of us, even the women, to choose a person of deen. The reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling all of us to choose a person for their deen first and foremost, right? Doesn't mean that the other characteristics aren't important. Of course, like, we want to marry somebody who is visually pleasing to us, right? That's one of the aims of marriage, that you will find it easy to lower your gaze because you are satisfied with your spouse. However, what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us is what the priority is. And the priority is the deen. Why? Because this relationship, this marriage, is more than just a union of two people, right? This marriage is all about living the rest of your life, inshallah, together as believers, striving through the difficulties of life together as believers, right? And if you marry somebody who doesn't have the right mindset, especially with regards to their relationship with Allah, then it's going to be very, very difficult to get through the tough times. Because, you know, that person does not look at the world in the same way that you do. It doesn't look at the world with the eyes of a believer in the way that you do. So that's one aspect. But another aspect is that marriage is the beginning of family, right? And then families create communities and societies and are the building blocks of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we want is to have offspring who are pious. We want offspring who are nurtured with iman. And the primary person, okay, who's going to convey that iman, that right mindset, that right attitude, is going to be the mother. The fourth point that I wanted to make is that it's true that sometimes, you know, you see that somebody might marry somebody who's not particularly religious, and then over time they manage to influence them, etc., etc. However, it's a very risky thing to do, right? It's a risky thing to do for somebody who has the choice. And I'm assuming you have the ability to choose and find somebody who's religious. I'm sure you do, right? It's a very risky thing to avoid the women of deen, the women who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and go for somebody who doesn't have a particularly strong relationship with Allah, thinking that you might be able to influence that person. So if you marry somebody who's, say, 19 or 20, right? I'm just judging by the age that you mentioned. Then that means that for 19 years, for 20 years, your prospective spouse was brought up in a way that they were not brought up with Islam. They were not brought up in a religious way, right? And that's definitely going to have an impact. I think it's very risky for people to kind of assume that they can marry someone and then change them. And the reason why I know this is because we see many cases in our community, and, you know, people who've come to us in the past of where, you know, the husband is religious and the wife is not listening to him and she's on a different wavelength, and, you know, it causes discord. And we see it the other way around as well, you know, sisters who are desperate for their husbands to become more religious. Their husband's not praying, their husband's not doing the basics. And, you know, they're very fearful that they're in a marriage where the husband won't do the basics of Islam. So it causes a lot of disruption, it causes potentially a lot of hardship, it causes problems with regards to the way that they want to bring up their children, etc., etc. So these are all things you need to be really aware of, you know, these are all risks. And as I said, there might be cases where a person has been able to, you know, influence their spouse. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't give that as his advice, right? His advice was marry the person whose religion is sorted, right? The fifth point that I want to make is, so what does that mean? What exactly does that mean, you know, marrying somebody religious? What it means is, brother, that at least the person should have observance of the fundamentals of Islam, right? The person should observe the five pillars of Islam. They should be somebody who prays, should be somebody who fasts, somebody who gives their zakah if they have wealth, and who knows about these things, who knows about these obligations, right? And somebody who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of the wajibat, right? The things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory. So things like the way they dress when they go outside. Of course, the hijab, right? These things are things I would recommend that brothers, religious brothers, that you do seek out people who care about the hijab. Because believe me, you know, we see cases of people, yani, who really have difficulty after marriage, because people's hearts are not in our hands at the end of the day, right? And somebody who is brought up not used to a certain thing, you can't necessarily assume that tomorrow they will start doing that thing, right? So it's really important that when we look for a spouse, we think about the fact that, you know, if this person's relationship with Allah is sorted to a particular level, right, to a decent level, then what that means is this person in their life so far has been able to come to the conclusion and have and build their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, as I said, in times of hardship, you know, and life is full of hardship, you know, there are tough times ahead. There are challenging times ahead. Yes, there are exciting and positive and thrilling times ahead as well. However, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us He's going to test us throughout life. And you want to meet those tests of life with somebody who will strengthen you, who won't be somebody who will hinder your religious progress, right? So, dear brothers and sisters, let us heed the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as we can, when he said that a woman is married for four things: for her wealth, for her nobility, for her beauty, and for her deen. And hold on to the one of deen. Choose the person of deen if you want to be successful. One of the things that many brothers don't seem to realize is that when their wife goes out in public, it's actually their responsibility to advise their wife to dress in an appropriate way, right? And it's not just their wife, the people in their family. So the husband is the head of the house. The husband is the person with whom the buck stops, right? And the husband is responsible for the tarbiyah of his household. And believe me, brother, if your wife is somebody who is conscientious, she's going to be the coolness of your eyes. If she's somebody who fears Allah, then when you're feeling weak, she will remind you she will strengthen you, right? And vice versa. And believe me, brother, your wife, if she is a pious person and a person of good character, will nurture your children and bring them up upon goodness. And the effect of marrying a pious woman is going to last for generations to come. Generations to come. And this is why I like to emphasize that when we're getting married, we're marrying somebody who's going to be the mother of our children, the father of our children. We're marrying someone and we're building a nation with them, right? Our children, then our children's children, then their children, then their children. This will be a nation. And we are the foundation of that nation. And so if the foundations of that nation are firm and good, then inshallah, it will continue to be good for generations to come. And the effects of it will last. So please bear all of that in mind. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Every day's a good day. I give my life to you.